Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon. And help us to see that you are the one that's in control, despite the evil intent of Satan, despite the wickedness of men's hearts. And Father, help us to look to your word and to trust in you. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we were looking this morning, we saw that Jesus had come and gained the right to the throne through Joseph, and he came from the line of David through Mary, and now he is born in Bethlehem. We don't have the account of his birth in the book of Matthew. We have that recorded in Luke's gospel, so the details of that birth are there. Here we have Jesus when he is probably the age of around 2. And the reason that we say that is because later on in chapter 1, we know that Herod sought to kill all the babies that were that age or younger. And he was attempting to destroy Jesus, whom he viewed as a threat to his kingship. But even more so, it was that wicked intent was inspired by Satan, as Satan was attempting to destroy the Messiah before he could grow into manhood and fulfill the commission that he had taken on him before the foundations of the world. That is, he was to die for the sins of the world upon the cross. As we look at this, we want to just look at a couple characters to lay down some background into this. First of all, let's look at the three wise men. Three wise men, it says they came from the east. In all likelihood, they came from the Chaldees. They were Chaldeans, probably. Chaldeans were known for studying the stars, examining the stars. We also know that there had been an influence, a Jewish influence, in Chaldees. Why? Because the Jews had been in Babylon under the captivity during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. They had had an influence then. We also knew that the Jews during the time of Mordecai and Esther, that there was an influence of Jews on the kingdom at that time too. the people understood about the God of the Jews. During the time of Nebuchadnezzar, we know during Nebuchadnezzar's end of his reign, he had become very proud and God humbled him. And at the end of Nebuchadnezzar's life, the indications are he probably could have even become a believer at most, and at least he acknowledged the God of the Jews and commanded that all the nation of Babylon worship the God of the Jews. Having said all of these things, and then plus adding to that, Daniel, who was high up in the government of Babylon, as well as in the government of the Medes and the Persians when it first came to power, we know that Daniel had spoke prophetically of the coming Messiah. And so there would have been a knowledge of this Messiah from the influence of the Jewish prophets and the Jewish scriptures, even in Babylon. We also know that there are cases of people even around the world today that when they find people that have never had the Bible, yet they are aware that there is a Messiah or someone that is coming to save them. They've made reference of this. We studied that a little bit when we had that, when Roberta and I were in Israel. We had that film that you saw about the tribe in India and how that they were ready to receive the gospel. We've also, I've read of other cases where there's people that have been indigenous people that have really don't have a lot of exposure to the world, yet when missionaries get there, they are ready and want to know about this book that they've been waiting for someone to tell them about. So it's not surprising that the Chaldeans knew about that these wise men knew that there was a coming Messiah. And there was also a sign in the heavens, a special star. Now this wasn't, some Bible scholars say, oh, it was the planets aligning. Well, I don't think it was the planets aligning. I think that it was a miracle from God. I think it was a special star. The reason I say that is because when they go to Herod, initially the star leads them to Jerusalem. And then when they go to Herod, the star leads them from Jerusalem, where Herod would be, to Bethlehem. And so there's movement in this star while they're there. And its movement is directly to where it needs to show them to go. That isn't planets aligning with themselves in my book. That's a miracle of the Lord and God being in control of the heavens and giving signs even in the heavens to these Chaldean wise men to go where Jesus was. We also don't know the exact number of these wise men. The tradition says three, and I think that comes from the three gifts that were brought. However, I read another account where it talked about the fact that the wise men often traveled, if they would have traveled some distance, which they would have been probably at least a couple hundred miles, or could have even been as much as 300 to 400 miles, depending on where they were from the east, that they traveled. If they traveled, they probably would have been in a group much larger than three traveling that far, because you're always susceptible to those that would attempt to rob you or to come against you, and so oftentimes they would travel in bands. So there could have been more than just three, or there could have been three. We don't know. The scriptures are silent on the exact number. But we know they did come from the east. They were wise men who studied the stars and saw the star that told them that there had been a king of the Jews born in Israel. And so they followed this star to Jerusalem. The second one I want you to look at is Herod himself. We've talked before in other messages of the fact that Herod was not a legitimate king of Israel. Herod was an Edomite, that is, he is the descendant of Esau, who in the Edomites were really enemies of the Jews, even though they were the closest relatives of the Jews in the Middle East. Why? Because Esau was the brother of Jacob, and so they would have been closer to him than even Ishmael and the Ishmaelites, or they would have been closer to him than the other sons of Moses, of Abraham, that were born of Keturah, because they would have been two generations away. And we also know that they would have been closer than the descendants of Lot, the Ammonites and the Moabites, because those were the descendants of Lot's daughters. So the Edomites were the closest relatives of the Jewish people. Yet we know that Esau had desired ill for his brother, and his descendants desired ill for Jerusalem and ill for the Jewish people. And so it's not surprising that that Herod wanted to know where the child was born, not so that he could really worship him, but rather so that he could destroy him. Now, as you look at the Herod and the Edomites, to give you a background how he gained the throne, he, as I mentioned in another message about a year ago or so, Herod was a classmate of Cleopatra, Mark Antony, and those the ones who would become the Caesars of Rome. And Herod desired his kingdom and his right to rule. And so one of the things he did is he feigned a conversion to Judaism, and then he was given the right to rule over the Jewish people. And so Herod ruled as, quote, king of the Jews, which was given to him by the Roman government. It wasn't something that the Jewish people somehow elected him king. No, they didn't elect him king. Rome made him king. And it was a position that he held because of his connections with those that were in power in Rome. But also, Satan placed him there for Satan's diabolical and devious purposes. And that was, when the Messiah would come, he would destroy this Messiah, King of the Jews. Satan has always tried to thwart God's plans, but God is greater than Satan, and his plans will not be stopped, but God's plans will be accomplished. Well, as we see in the text this afternoon, it says here that as they go and they appear where they would automatically think they should go, they go to the palace, because if you're a king, you probably should be born in the palace. And as they go to the palace, they find Herod. Herod is very deceitful. He was referred to as a fox. That is someone who is always trying to get advantage and through deceit and dishonesty. And even those that had gone to school with him acknowledged that characteristic of his character. And he did that with these wise men. He sought to deceive them. The first thing he wants to know is, when did you see this sign? Because I have to know. Well, the reason that he wanted to know the sign, he didn't want to know how old Jesus was so that he could bring him the proper gifts. He wanted to know how Jesus was so he could make sure he got the right baby to kill. And his whole intent was to destroy this, quote, king of the Jews. That's why he needed to know his age. Was he a teenager? Was he a young boy? Was he a baby? When did they first see this sign? Because when they first saw the sign, that was a sign that he had been born. And however long it took them to get there, and if they were traveling, it could have taken them a couple of years to get there from when God first showed them the sign of Jesus' birth. And so they tell him, evidently, that this child was probably 2 or 3 years old since they saw this sign. Herod puts this away because that's what he's going to use later on in the recorded account to attempt to kill Jesus. The next thing he tells him is, well, you need to tell me where he is so that I can go and worship him as well. And I need to know. And when you find him, come and get me, because I want to worship him. Then he goes and he gets all the scholars. Now, I think there's a sentence that I overlooked already that I need to go back to that's very interesting, because it says in verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, that is the star in the east that brought the Chaldean magi to look at Jesus, to find Jesus. It says that Herod the king had heard these things. He was troubled. And then I want you to see another interesting. It says, and all Jerusalem was troubled with him. Why would you be troubled if the Messiah was coming? It's because they really didn't want the Messiah to come. You know, as you look at the first coming of Christ, those that should have known he was coming and been waiting for him weren't excited when they heard that he could be there. As a matter of fact, Herod goes and he talks to all of those of the priests and the scribes. The scribes would be those that recorded the scriptures and had studied the scriptures to make sure that they had been recorded properly. They would know about it. The priests, because they were the ones that interpreted and spoke the scriptures to the people and carried out the worship that was laid out in the scriptures. These two groups of people should have known where Jesus was. And Herod went to them and they said, well, according to the prophet that is found in Micah 5:2, it says that he would be born in Bethlehem. And as they say that, there wasn't any urgency in Israel to run out to Bethlehem to find the king that had been born. And if you stop and think about the fact that, given the account that's in Luke's gospel, where the Lord sent angels to appear to the shepherds and report to them in their fields as they watched over their flocks by night, that the Messiah had come, that Jesus had been born, and he who was king of the Jews and that would take away the sins of the world had been born. And the angels, remember, said, we bring you tidings of great joy, for unto you this day is born a Savior, whose name is Christ the Lord, the Anointed One. And the shepherds knew who the Anointed One was, but they were the uneducated ones. And they went with great joy to find Jesus. And when they saw him, they went away, the scriptures tell us, singing and filled with joy that they had seen the Messiah. All of Israel should have been filled with joy. They all should have been looking for the Messiah to come. And as a matter of fact, they should have had an idea about when he would be born, because they had the prophet Daniel telling him when he'd enter into Jerusalem, so they'd know he'd have to be a man, and they could determine what year that was, and then they could back off. Well, he's got to be born sometime before there, but he's got to be born so he'd be somewhere around the average age of us, so it probably would be about now. And as they do that, nobody's excited about it. Instead, when they hear the news, they're troubled. They're troubled. Don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat. Things are going pretty good with us. You know, we don't have trouble with Herod. We're keeping the Romans, are allowing us to worship at the temple. Why would we rock the boat and say that there's a Messiah, our Savior, our Redeemer? They should have been looking for him. When you look at what the church is like today, and the fact that the signs of the time, Jesus said, are ramping up, and the birth pangs are growing closer and closer together as the signs of the times are are intensifying, we should anticipate his coming. And we should be looking for it. And we should be looking for more signs. But the sad thing is, what you see in the church, the very ones that should be looking for it, is many churches are denying prophecy, denying the second coming of Christ, becoming amillennialists, becoming those that say we're going to make a kingdom on earth now and Jesus can't come until we get everything right for him to come. All kinds of false doctrines and not looking for the Lord to return. A lot of times people will condemn Israel for being troubled when they heard the Messiah was coming. Well, a lot of people today are troubled when you try and talk to them about the second coming of Christ, and which is very similar to this. Well, we see that Herod goes on, and when he finds out where it is, he wants them to go and find him, discover him, and then to immediately come back and tell him where he is. The reason we know that he wanted to do this was to kill Jesus, put him to death. He pretended he wanted to worship him, but he had no desire to worship him. And we need to understand that today our desire should be to long for the coming of the king and to seek to honor and to worship him. Well, as I said, God's plans are not going to be thwarted. God appears to the Magi. He appears to these ones that had come to worship him from the east. And he tells them of Herod's plan, and he says, go home another way. Don't go back and talk to him. Leave and go another way so he doesn't even know where you were, that he can't find Jesus. And that's exactly what they do. Before they do that, though, they give him three gifts. And then we just want to look at these three gifts quickly. And then we are going to close for this afternoon. He brought them gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold was really a sign of the fact that he truly was a king and worthy of riches. And they brought him what is really a sign of a king or a ruler, was to have gold or that which was rich. And they brought him a gift of gold. Frankincense was a very fragrant oil, and they brought that because he would be the one that would rule his people with justice and truth. He would be the one that was worthy of their worship and praise. And then there was myrrh. Myrrh is a herb, or it's a spice, rather, that is used for embalming or death. Now, it's interesting, if you're coming to worship this baby that's just been born as king, why would you bring myrrh? It seems like an out-of-place gift. Frankincense showing the right to rule because of his purity, and gold because he is the king. But myrrh, why myrrh? I believe that the Lord had them bring the myrrh because of the reason that Jesus came. He came to die to pay the penalty of the sins of the world. His first coming was to end in his death, and so consequently the myrrh was a symbol of that. But out of his death would come life for all those that believed. And so it was a gift that was worthy of Christ. And so we see these three gifts given, speaking of who Jesus was and the symbolism of the gifts. We serve the King of Kings, who came in the purity and holiness of his life. Who was without sin, came to become sin for us and died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. May we seek to look for his second coming, where he comes to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and to judge the living and the dead, and to bring justice once and for all to his creation. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these truths. Help us to apply these truths to our life, and help us to look for your second coming. To not be troubled as the city of Jerusalem was, or to be troubled as Herod was, but Lord, that we would look with great anticipation, longing for that day when we can see you face to face and honor and glorify your name. Go with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing,